2 Kings chapter 6. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm not going to keep you long, but I just want to encourage you on this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm going to read starting at verse 8. And I won't read the entirety of the text, but I'm just going to read some key verses. And then we'll run from there. Say amen when you get there. 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll start at verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for hither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warred and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for the king, and he called his servants and said unto them, listen to this, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" In other words, he said, there must be a spy in our camp. And one of his servants said, "Nah, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Somebody say Dothan. "Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" In other words, what are we going to do? And he answered, "Fear not." Somebody say, "Fear not." "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." My God, that's a good word right there. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people." In other words, smite this army, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. Something that the Lord dropped in my spirit just woke me up and dropped this. He said, "Fear not, God has your back." Amen. That's a very simple thing, but the Lord spoke that to me. He said, "Fear not, God has your back." Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I believe I'm talking to somebody, because like I said, wasn't sure if I was going to minister this morning, but he woke me up and told me to tell the people of God, to encourage you, to fear not. God's got your back. He's got your back. Tell your neighbor that. Say, "Fear not. God's got your back." Now touch another neighbor and say, "God's got your back." No. That's got to resonate in your spirit. You got to help me preach that a little bit this morning. You got to understand, God's got your back. See, people may tell you that they got your back, only to find out that when it really gets tight and tough and it's hellish in your life, that you can't find them nowhere. But when God says he's got your back, somebody better talk back to me. God's got your back. So you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. Because I believe some of you are dealing with some fear, that the enemy is trying to throw some fear tactics your way and almost allow you to see things in the natural that will make you move from your spiritual position. But God wants you to know that he's got your back. So regardless of what you feel and what you see right now, don't you be moved, because God's got your back. He's got your back. He's got your back. Can you nudge your neighbor and say, "He's got your back"? He's got your back. I know I'm being repetitious, but I'm doing it intentionally. Cause every now and then, you've got to say it out of your mouth. You've got to continue to say it until it gets in your spirit. Sometimes we say things and it's not coming from our spirit. But if you say it enough, it'll get in your spirit. Just like listening to certain music. If you listen to it long enough, it'll get in your spirit. And before you know it, your foot is moving and you're like, why is my foot moving? And you try to stop it cause it's in your spirit. You got to get this in your spirit. God's got your back. He's got your back. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God's got your back. But look, Pastor, I'm surrounded by all of these problems. Chaos is in my life. I don't care how chaotic it is in your life right now. God's got your back. Pastor, you don't understand now. They just laid me off. I don't care. God's got your back. God, he just walked out on me. I don't care. God's got your back. Show me a problem, name a situation, and I'll tell you God still got your back. But I just went to the doctor, Pastor, and the report wasn't that good. God's got your back. My children are acting hellish. God's got your back. Come on, my marriage is on the rocks. God's got your, oh God. Can somebody help me preach that right there? God's got your back. Doesn't care what it looks like. See, the only reason that you're freaking out right now and you're bugging, the only reason why, it's because you're looking at it in your natural eye. You got to stop looking at it in the natural and look at things in the spirit. Because if God be for you, come on, fill in the blank. If God be for you, my God, is there anything too hard? Somebody said what? No, no, because God's got our back. God's got our back. And that's what this text is all about. Elijah, who is the successor to Elisha. His name means God is salvation or God is deliverance. Amen. Now, the text says that Elisha, he's one of the head prophets and he's living in Dothan. Dothan is a place that's located in northern Palestine. If you keep reading, you will find out something or do some study on Dothan. Dothan means the place of two wells. Now, you know, got a little revelation. You know, wells is where you get your water supply. So he's living in Dothan, the place where you get that water supply. Now, symbolically speaking, water means or symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Okay, can I go a little bit deeper? So he's living in Dothan. Dothan means two wells. Wells is where you get your water supply. Symbolically speaking, water means or symbolizes the Holy Spirit. He's living in the Spirit. Okay, you're going to walk with me in a minute. He's in Dothan. He's living in the Spirit. Okay, maybe you didn't get it. Okay, he's in Dothan. He's living in the Spirit. He's in a place where he can get his refreshing. He's in a place where he can get his cleansing. He's in a place where he can get his revelation. He's living in Dothan. He's not living in the world. He's living in Dothan. He's living in the Spirit realm. And what I want to say to some of you is as long as you are in the Spirit realm, look for the enemy to try to reposition you. Look for the enemy to try to move you out of Dothan. He's living in Dothan. And you know he's in the Spirit because the Bible says that the king of Syria, he got upset because he's wondering every time we're plotting against the people of God, Israel, somebody warns them and they mess up our plot. It got so bad until the king said, I want all my men to come in here and I want to have a meeting. Who's the spy in my camp? And one servant rose up and said, King, it's none of us. We're loyal to you. But what I want to tell you is there is a man of God. There is a prophet who's in Dothan. Oh God, who's living in the Spirit, and God tells him what you're doing.
See, the enemy is upset at some of y'all. That's why all that hell is breaking out, because you've been living in the spirit realm. It's not anything that you've done wrong. It's about what you're doing right now. You are living in the spirit realm, and the enemy is trying to get you out of position. And the king is upset. And the king says to him, who's this man? He says, Elijah. He says, well, let's go get him. So he sends out a host of men to encamp around Dothan, where Elijah is living. Why does he come? Why do they come? They don't come because he's walking in the flesh. They don't come because he's partying. They don't come because he's doing anything, you know, wrong. They come because he's doing everything right. He's operating in the spirit realm. See, we got this twisted. We get upset and we get bothered and we get moved when we are walking in the spirit and all hell breaks out. And we say to ourselves, what have I done wrong? No, you need to tell yourself, I'm going to rejoice because I know I'm walking right now. Because if that devil is on me now and I'm walking right, I must be doing something right. You know why? Because you're living in Dothan. Come on, somebody. You've been living in those other places long enough. You was living in the bar. You was living in the club. You was living on the alcohol. But now you're living in the spirit, and the enemy is upset. Says, go get him. Go get him. Go get him. I need to get him out of the spirit. Isn't it something when you're in the spirit, you can hear from God? You know, you can warn people when you're in the spirit. You know, because you, before you got saved and you really, you know, start walking in the spirit, you couldn't hear everything around you. And you just, what's going on? But now when you're walking in the spirit, you see things. You hear from God. And that's what God wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be moved by natural situation, by natural circumstances. He wants you to stay right there. So what does he do? King says, okay, I had enough of this boy. Send out the men, and I want you to go get them. I want you to bring them to me, because I've had enough of him. I'm tired of that woman always praying all the time. She's been fasting too much. Now he's going to have the audacity to tell me that he's not going to serve me any longer. He's living for this God. He used to drink every Friday night. He don't drink no more. Now he takes his family and he prays with his family. He's living in Dothan. I'm tired of him. You got to go get him. See, you don't understand. The enemy is after some of you and you getting all bothered and upset. No. You need to rejoice. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Come on, you got to learn how to rejoice and let the devil know. You know what? I know you own me because I'm praying. But if you think you're upset at me now, watch what I do next week. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to learn how to talk back to that devil and say, devil, I'm not going to leave my post. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm in the spirit, and I will not move. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be moved. Don't be moved. I know it's shaking right now, but don't be moved. Who am I talking to? I know it doesn't look good right now, but don't be moved. Don't be moved. Don't be moved. But Pastor, you don't understand. They coming after me. The enemy is on my trail. That's okay. Great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you got God on your side, you're going to be all right. Remember I told you, God's got your back. Don't worry about it. God's got your back. But they lying on me, Pastor. They talking about me. You know, they're criticizing me. That's all right. That means you're in the spirit. You're in Dothan. See, when you get in Dothan, people talk about you. When you get in Dothan, they lie on you. When you get in Dothan, come on, somebody. When you get in Dothan, the enemy gets upset at you. Come on. The indication that you are walking in the spirit is when the enemy unleashes his cohorts on you. If you ain't got no heat on you, I'm questioning whether you're walking in the spirit. If no trouble is going on, I'm questioning every now if you're really walking in the spirit. Because when you walk with God, there's going to be some trouble every now and then. Doesn't mean that you're not going to get through it, but you're going to have to go through the valley every now and then. And he says to him, he says, go get them. They surround the camp. I ain't going to be long. I just wanted to encourage you. They surround the camp. Now, the strangest thing to me is there's a It's a contrast here. They surround the camp. The servant wakes up and sees the camp surrounded. Elijah sees it too. You know where I'm going. Two men see the same thing, but two different reactions. What would make one man react differently than another man when they see the same thing? Oh, God. What makes you bug out while sister so-and-so is okay? And both of y'all are going through the same thing. What makes you go off, bruh? And that other man keeps his cool and y'all both going through the same thing. Oh, somebody help me preach right now. Could it be that maybe one is in the spirit realm and the other one has been walking in the flesh? Because see, when you walk in your flesh, you're going to deal according to your flesh. When you walk in your spirit, you're going to deal according to your spirit. And people in the flesh see differently than people in the spirit. People in the spirit see differently than people in the flesh. That's why you can't share spiritual things with fleshly people. Now, I'm not trying to, not trying to offend you. But you know you can share some spiritual things and people sometimes look at you like, what do you mean? I ain't talking about the world either. I'm talking about people in the church. What you talking about? That don't make sense. And you know the phrase out there is, I'm keeping it real. Sometimes keeping it real means I'm still walking in my flesh. Now if you're going to keep it real by walking in your spirit, let's keep it real. But keep it real is not some card to allow you to just say, walk in your flesh. Say, well, I'm keeping it real. I just do what I do. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So if I'm going to keep it real, I got to keep it real for Christ. Two men have the same experience, but have different responses. The one man, the servant of Elijah, he saw what was going on. Now imagine now, the entire city or their camp is surrounded by the Syrian army. He sees it and he says, whoa. Now, I know none of y'all ever get afraid. I know you sleep with God, you wake up with God, and you've never been afraid of anything. You know, bills are due, and, the mortgage is due on the 1st, and it's the 31st, and you don't even have half of it. But I know you've never been afraid of that. You know, car payment is overdue, and you've got a call, and they said, if you don't give me all of it in 2 days, I'm coming to get it. And you know, that's the only way you're going to get to work. But I know you've never been afraid of anything like that. Because, saints of God, they don't get afraid. You know, yeah, I'm saved. I'm highly favored of the Lord. I'm God's best. I'm anointed and appointed by the best. I don't have no problems. All I have is faith in God. That's what you say in the public. But I wonder what your private face looks like. And I wonder what your private prayer sounds like. Could it be like, God, if you don't do something, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I'm falling apart. Don't you see? I just wonder sometimes. Because, church is the place. You see, Hollywood don't have nothing on us. Come on, y'all know it. Come on, man. You got the best actors and actresses in the body of Christ. I mean, you can go to almost any church and just you, and you go. And we know how to do it. Nobody ever has a problem. Nobody's ever been fearful. Nobody's ever been sick. And I'm not preaching a weak gospel. I'm just saying, sometimes we got to be real. That's what I mean by being real. The Bible said, let the sick say they're healed. Amen. Well, if I got to say I'm healed, that must mean I'm... Amen. Oh, I'm okay. Yes. I don't need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. Hallelujah. Doctor doesn't mean you don't have any faith. Because if God doesn't work through the doctor, you're still not going to get it. Every now and then, we just got to be real. Here's the servant. He goes out there. He sees. He said, Lord, what are we going to do? He's fearful. I know we don't like to use that word. But if the reality, if the truth be told, we've all had our moments of fear. I didn't say it gripped you, but you had your moments. Where you, sometimes some of you may have to shake yourself. God ain't given me the spirit of fear. I know all of that. But let certain things come forth in your life and see what you do. Sometimes you got to back up and regroup and shake yourself and say, oh, devil, you a liar. No. You ever got hit with something and then you had to say, oh, no, devil, no, devil, that ain't, no. Let every man be a liar, but God, you are true. No, devil, you ain't going to get me with that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord is going to deliver me. No, devil, no, you ain't going to get me with that. Lord, you are the light of and my salvation. And whom shall I? No, you are not going to get me with that, devil. Not going to get. Yeah, you hit me, but I recovered. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. See, every now and then we got to be honest. Because sometimes, you know, it gets us, but it doesn't keep us. So he's looking, he sees and he's fearful and he says, what are we going to do, Master? You know what I want to tell you? You cannot allow your natural circumstances to make you act prematurely. Can I say that again? You cannot allow your natural circumstances to make you react prematurely. Because you know, premature decisions, oh man, they can cost you a lifetime of hardship. You sign some that you shouldn't have signed because you reacted prematurely. Mm-hmm. You spoke out of turn when you should have been quiet because you reacted prematurely. You allow your natural circumstances to make you react. And anytime you react in the natural, it's never going to come out right. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You went somewhere that you shouldn't have went, and you did it because you were looking at your natural circumstances. Under normal circumstances, when you think about it, a few months ago, you said, why did I do that? I would have never done that had that happened. And what I want to tell you is, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to pull you out of the spirit realm so you will prematurely react. And when you react, he's going to pounce on you. And so I want to tell some of you right now, don't you move. Look at your neighbor. Don't be intimidated. Say, don't you move. Don't you move. God is speaking to you. Don't you move. No. Get your hand off the button. Don't you touch it. Don't you sign it. Don't you do nothing until you see the face of the Lord. What does God say? Tell your neighbor, what is God saying? Forget those people when they come back. Well, I don't know what God's saying, but I got to do something. No, you don't. Come on. Has anybody ever talked like that? Have you ever heard anybody talk like, I don't know what God's talking about. I got to do something. That's a premature move that's going to end up taking you somewhere that you don't want to be. He gets out there and he says, Master, what are we going to do? Have you ever been frantic? Yeah. Oh, God, I don't have the money. What am I going to do? Let me see. Next day loans. I'll call them next day loans. Next day loans. 25% interest. That ain't God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, that ain't God. You see, but see, when you're looking in the natural, you will react prematurely. Car broke down. I got to go get me one right now. Right now. I got to get it right now. Right now. And God is trying to steer you in certain directions that he's going to use somebody to bless you with it. But no, you know, you in the natural because I got to get to work. Can I ask you something? Does God know you got to get to work? Come on. If God gave you the job and he knows you have to get to work, he knows you need transportation. Amen. So what do? My God shall supply all of my needs and all my ways at and he shall. Sometimes God is setting somebody up to bless you, but you miss it because you prematurely react. And you just went on the car lot and bought it. And you know it can get you into anything with no money down. But then you don't read the fine print. Credit already jacked up. Sign right here, 18%. Keep looking straight. If that's you, just keep. I don't know your business. I don't know your business. Nobody's told me anything. I'm just moving by the Spirit. But you see what premature moving will do? And then you got something that you stuck with. Somebody that you stuck with. And keep looking straight. And you're like, oh God. God, if I had to do it over, I'll mail you back. Can I tell all the single folks something? You better learn how to wait. You better learn how to wait. Because instead of getting that Boaz, you know what I'm talking about. End up getting the wrong somebody in your life because you didn't want to wait. You didn't want to wait. You didn't want to wait. As though God doesn't know how old you are. Can I just be real? Everybody else being real, can I be real? He doesn't know how old you are. God, don't you know my clock is moving and and it's another year and you said and it's another year and you said and you know, cause it just doesn't happen overnight. It's over time. It's over time and I'm believing you, God, but when's going? I'm believing you, God, but and then your resolve. Time, if you're not careful, will break down your resolve and after a while, what you wouldn't look at, you'll start. Maybe I can work it out. I'm anointed to do it. So you start talking all crazy, you know. God will fix it. He knows my heart. Oh, come on. Come on, y'all churchy people using all them crazy terms to do your will. It ain't his will. You want to do your will. Then when you get it, you're praying more than you ever prayed, trying to get rid of it. But you can't get rid of it now because you done messed around, not only got it, but you put the ring on it. Man, you're really in trouble and you got to live with it. And all I'm saying to you, that only happened because there was a premature move. Because everybody was saying something and you didn't say anything. And it costs you. That's just one scenario. This first man, the servant, saw with his natural eye. And fear gripped him. And he was going to move prematurely. But then, Elijah reacts totally different. You know why? Because Elijah knew something that the servant didn't know. And the only reason Elijah knew something that the servant didn't know wasn't that the servant couldn't have known, but that the servant wasn't living in the spirit. You can't hate on people when they're walking in the spirit and you not. And then they give you a word and you want to be rejecting the word and all upset. What you mean? Why are you trying to judge me? The word is saying it. If we're going to walk in the spirit, we got to live by the word. Now, you don't want me to tell you anything outside of the word, do you? Have you ever got people upset at you because you giving them the word and they're supposed to be saved just like you? I can understand the world saying that. But my brothers and my sisters, well, what you want me to tell you? Just go do it. This ain't Nike. This is the gospel. And I'm going to give you the word. Elijah sees something totally different. And the only reason is because Elijah is walking in the spirit. And what does he say? He says to God, he prayed. Whew. Can I drop this on you right quick? One of the things that is missing in the church is prayer. We want to hear from God. We want a word from God. But we don't go to God. And now what we end up doing, we end up relying on other people to speak to us. You don't. That's the Old Testament. That you got to go to the priest. The priest goes to God and then gets back to you. That's Old Testament. New Testament says the veil has been ripped from top to bottom, meaning that we now have access to God ourselves. You don't have to wait on your pastor. You can't hear from God. Now, when your pastor shows up on Sunday, what should be happening is that there's confirmation of what God spoke to you through me to tell you. But he's already talked to you, too. I'm scared of these people that, you know, God told me that, you. Can I use the singers one more time? Just one more time. Because I just want to see y'all getting, things have just happened. It's crazy. So the brother rose up to you and said, God says to me, you my wife. He bypasses you, tells the man that you his wife, and God ain't spoke to you. Oh, that sounds crazy, but we go for it. Oh, he did? No, what you need to say is, he ain't talked to me yet. Because surely I should be somewhere in that equation that he's going to talk to you, and I'm supposed to be your wife, and he ain't talked to me. Somebody say the devil is a liar. And you go for that because you ain't spending time in the presence of the Lord yourself. He prayed. This is the thing that we've got to go back to. We have to start praying. Because when you pray, all that means is you're communicating with God. Come on, y'all, stay up. Anybody got a cell phone? Anybody? Anything? Can I see a cell phone? Anybody else? Okay, do me a quick favor. Oh, you got yours. Stay right there. I should know you had yours. Put your phone on that. Okay, now. I'm talking to you. You. I'm talking to you. Yeah, you got at least act like you want to talk to me. Isn't that bad? Trying to talk to your girl and she's like, you want to talk to me? Yeah, put it to your ear. Act like you're talking to me. No, I don't want you to call me now. Not really. I want to role play a little bit. Now, how many of us, we're on our cell phones and we talk to certain people almost every day? You ain't got to raise your hand. But there are certain people that you know you talk to every day, whether it's your mama, your daddy, your friend, your girlfriend, your boy, whoever, but your dog. But you talk to somebody. Some of y'all just talk to somebody every day. It's just, it's just something you do, just a religious thing you do. You just talk to them every day. Ain't nothing wrong with that. My problem is that if you can talk to a human being every day, find out what's going on, and some of you talk to people that they just keep you updated. They like CNN News. You want to know something? Just call that number. They better than Anderson Cooper. CNN anchor. So, talking every day, okay? What I'm trying to say now is, if I'm going to talk to a human being every day, who is limited in their knowledge, what about God? Who wants us to talk? Who has provided a way for us to talk to him? You know why he sent his son? So that we can get back in fellowship with him. Fellowship, koinonia, communion with him. God desires that we talk to him. I can't tell you how long you can talk to God. You talk to him as long as you want. It's not always in the amount of time as much as it is in the consistency. You know, you can't talk to somebody the same amount of time every day. Hey, I just called, let you know, so I got to go now. Sometimes there's a long conversation. Sometimes there's a short conversation. But the one thing, God wants you to talk to him. Because when we talk to him, we'll know what's going on by the Spirit. And everything doesn't look like what's going on. And you've got that old glazed over look on your face like, I don't know what's happening. We shouldn't be like that as believers. We should have some working knowledge of what's going on in the spirit realm. And what's going on around us and in the world. You know why? Because we've been in the spirit realm. And we've been talking to the one that's omniscient, who's all-knowing. So all I'm saying to you is, church has to get back in the place of prayer. Amen. And you got to make it intentional. The reason why Elijah knew something that the servant didn't, wasn't that the servant couldn't have known. But one was living in the spirit realm and one wasn't. He allowed his natural circumstances to take him out of that place in the spirit. And that's all the enemy has been trying to do to some of you. He's been trying to push you out of that place. And what does Elijah say? Elijah says this. He says, servant says, what you going to do? Don't you see all of these men encamped around us? Elijah first says, they that are with us are more than they that are against us. Then imagine now you seeing in the natural a whole army surrounding you. And somebody comes out, maybe your pastor says, don't worry about it. Those that are with us deep are more than those that are against us. You may not say it, but in your mind, you're like, Pastor, you tripping. I don't know what you see, Pastor, but you need some glasses. Because what I see is, and that's what he said, with some calm. And then he says, he doesn't see what I see. That's why he's confused. That's why he's about to move, because he doesn't see what I see. And what does Elijah say? He says, Lord, open his eyes. And I believe God wants to do that today. He wants to open your eyes that you might see that there's more with you than against you. Got to get your eyes open. And how do you get your eyes open? You got to go into the spirit realm. When you go into the spirit, you'll start seeing. God will begin to reveal to you spiritual things, the mysteries of God. It's not in the flesh, it's in the spirit. Open his eyes that he might see. And when his eyes were open, he saw a whole host of angels, chariots of fire, surrounding the armies of Syria because his eyes was open. He saw. Why did Elijah not fear? He didn't fear because he knew God had his back. He knew that the armies of God were surrounding the armies of the enemy. And so when you know God and you know that God will never leave you nor forsake you, regardless of what comes in your life, you just keep it moving. When you know he won't, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You just keep it moving. Everybody else is freaking out. Everybody else is bugging. But you're okay. You know why? Because you know God's got your back. Amen. He's got my back. He's got my back. The Bible said, they that trust in the Lord should be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Why? Because I know God's got my back. I am not going to be moved by this situation. Trouble in the family, I'm not going to be moved because God's got my back. You know, he's got the angels of the Lord encamped around me. I can go anywhere. I can do anything with the help of the Lord, and I'm not going to fear. Some of you got to travel to different places, and the enemy's been saying, well, if you go over there, you know, you get on a plane and you don't know. Come on, somebody. God has not given us the spirit of fear. No. And the thing he says to the servant, he says, fear not. Don't be afraid. God's got your back. And I'm going to tell you, as the world gets progressively worse, we are going to have to get aggressively more into the presence of the Lord so that we won't be afraid to go where God is sending us. Because if fear grips the church, if he's sending you overseas, you won't get on that plane because you're saying terrorists are all over the place. I'm not saying do anything crazy, but if God is leading you, you got to know he's got your back. Amen. And if God is leading you, let me tell you something. If the plane goes down, you can't die. Because the hand of the Lord is on you and he still got purpose on your life. You're going to still survive. Come on, somebody. I can't promise you that problems won't happen and chaos won't come. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to survive in it. Amen. Come on. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Woo, Jesus. Let me close this out. So Elijah says to the servant, he says, they that are with us are more than they that are against us. He prayed. God opened his eyes. Then he saw. And then finally, Elijah prayed. Because see, when you got a prayer life, you can begin to declare some things. Amen. See, when you look at people and say, why are they speaking that? Because when you speak it out of your mouth, you put it in the atmosphere. And words have power. The word of God has creative power. What created this world? By the word of his mouth, where the heavens created, the Bible said. So when we begin to speak it, something has to happen. Elijah said to the Lord, he said, Lord, smoke them with blindness. In other words, blind their eyes. And what happened? All, imagine now, the entire army was blinded. And then Elijah says to them, follow me. I'll take you to where you were going. Of course, he took them right into their camp. And they open their eyes and say, ooh, you're going to pull a Mickey on the devil here shortly. You're going to let the devil know, I got you now. Because my eyes are open and I'm walking in power. See, he's going to come into your house the next time. He's going to say, who's that woman? Who's that man? She's talking different now. He's operating in a different place now. And that's what God wants you to do. So that when your eyes are open and you walk in the spirit, you will no longer fear because you understand God's got your back. Come on, let's stand. God's got your back. If you don't remember nothing else, remember that God's got